The government created the National Disability Insurance Scheme, the NDIS, because of the enormous gaps in services, their affordability and their appropriateness for the many people in Australia with a life-affecting disability. Now, disability comes in many forms. In some ways, it's easiest to define physical needs when, say, somebody's had a stroke or has cerebral palsy. But a large number of people who, in theory, qualify for NDIS support have a serious mental health issue. The NDIS calls it psychosocial disability. It's fair to say that at the design stage of the NDIS, there was a lot of resistance from government to mental health being part of the scheme. But it is, and there have been repeated allegations that there are significant gaps in what's being provided for people with mental health issues. These are reinforced by a report from the University of Sydney, which comes out tomorrow. It's called Mind the Gap. The lead author is Associate Professor Jennifer Smith-Merry of the Faculty of Health Sciences at the University of Sydney. And in our Perth studio is one of the stakeholders who was involved in this process, Kerry Hawkins, who's Vice President of Community Mental Health Australia. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kerry, you've got some lived experience of this. What are we talking about in terms of the services that people with mental health issues or psychosocial disability are looking for or get, in theory?
Well, I think, I was going to say, in theory, when we're talking about services, people with a lived experience of psychosocial disability, they don't get any. It's been a traditional black spot of funding and government focus for over 50 years in Australia, and probably a blind spot as well for the broader community. And so when I look back on our journey as a family of somebody with some psychosocial disability, we went to services for help and found absolutely nothing, and that's still the case today.
So it hasn't improved the provision of services?
No, not really. I think, unfortunately, like most serious conditions, you tend to go to the health system. And one of the opportunity costs, I guess, of having a health system that's very much focused around a biological reductionist approach to managing through medications is that there is no community sector that's out there to support people with psychosocial problems. It's really been a blind spot in terms of not having disability support.
But give me a tangible sense of what you're looking for. Is this job training, remediation, sort of thing?
So and it
not
varies
remediation,
from person.
Rehabilitation is the word I'm talking about.
Yeah. And recovery, sure. So, for some people it's as elementary as having a real home, a real job and real relationships, and all of those things fall away when you're unable to work because of paranoia or hearing voices.
Jennifer,
tell me
about the process that led to this report.
Well, what we did was talk to stakeholders who are already working with people with severe and complex mental ill health and ask them, what are the gaps that they're seeing for people who are trying to access the NDIS in its current form? Then we asked them, in relation to those gaps, we compiled the gaps together, we asked them what the solutions were that they devised.
So let's start with the gaps.
So the gaps were around...
So is there any objective data about this, or this is people's feelings?
There is little objective data about it, and in fact there's little data that's coming out of the NDIA at the moment.
That's the agency that runs the insurance scheme.
That's right. Yeah. And so one of our recommendations is to create more data so we can monitor what's happening. But really, what we were finding was that people were not engaging with the scheme. They didn't understand that the scheme was for them. When they did try to engage, there were problems around eligibility testing, and people were being found ineligible when they were in fact eligible.
And in fact, some people, I think Kerry was talking about this before we came on air, is that some people who were eligible under their state scheme find themselves not eligible under the NDIS.
Indeed. And some of the existing federal programs, such as Partners in Recovery, which are designed to help people with severe and complex mental health, when people have transitioned from those programs and the funding for Partners in Recovery is all going to the NDIS, when they have tried to transition to the NDIS, they've been found to be ineligible for the scheme.
So, Kerry, this is one of the issues, isn't it, that they're shutting down schemes that exist. And, and one of the misnomers here is that it's the National Disability Insurance Scheme. It's not national at all. It's the existing state schemes with some federal on top. Mm-hmm. They're shutting down and going to the NDIS, and there's this gap in people are falling between the cracks.
It's an enormous gap. So we have both state and federal funded programs that are disappearing, being rolled in their entirety into the NDIS and leaving, of course, this 600 or so thousand people and carers without any kind of support whatsoever, which of course we know is going to increase the problems that they're experiencing.
What about Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders?
Well, they found in the Barclay trial site and also the APY lands, that when the NDIS has been rolled out there, there's been big gaps, particularly around the inability for services to be able to provide in rural and remote regions because of the cost of those services. Often the services that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people need are not even available at the moment.
So to explain to listeners who might not understand here, the idea here is that the funding is surrounds the persons. They can draw down funding
That's
for
right.
their needs, and you get somebody to guide you through the system. Mm-hmm. But the problem then is that you've got a thin market because you... It's fine if you've got the money, but if there's nothing to spend it on, you've got a problem.
That's right. And the NDIS is meant to provide a provider of last resort in that case. But what they found in those regions was there was that wasn't really happening, and those services were not being provided. So people were just missing out on what they needed.
So this is a huge issue. There are large numbers of people with drug and alcohol, mental health issues in Australia who are disabled by them. What are the solutions here, Kerry?
Oh, they're multiple, and they absolutely have to be culturally and regionally responsive. And in terms of the drug and alcohol issue, there's traditionally been this lack of integration. And so one of the fundamental principles has to be this integrated, no wrong door approach in terms of combining both mental health services and drug and alcohol.
But when I was running, I covered this story a little bit when I was doing RN Breakfast last year and late last year. And one of the issues is there's not enough people in the NDIS who know what they're talking about. Is that right?
That's right. And there's a real lack of training for people within the NDIS, so providers, but also people who are doing the assessment and doing the planning in psychosocial disability.
So the spirit might be willing within the NDIS, but the people aren't there yet to do it.
That's right. And they lack a dedicated leader.
So is this solvable?
It is solvable. And the last thing we want to do was to say that people with psychosocial disabilities shouldn't be involved in the NDIS. It's a gradual process of change that needs to take place, but there needs to be dedicated leadership for that to happen. And they need to listen to the sector and to consumers to hear what their experiences are.
We'll have a link to that report on our website. Thank you very much to you both, Associate Professor Jennifer Smith-Merries in the University of Sydney's Faculty of Health Sciences, and Kerry Hawkins, speaking to us from Perth, is Vice President of Community Mental Health Australia.